Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast, and that is our heartbeat. We really believe that that the Lord will refresh you as we go to the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to our hearts. Let me open in a word of prayer, and then we're going to go right back into this series on the love of God. Now, this is part two. If you haven't heard the first one, you want to go back and get the foundation in part one, and then let's go forward. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for the love of God. Lord, we ask you to help us to walk in that love, to understand that love, and to grow in the revelation of the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we ended on the last episode of We're More Than Conquerors. Why? Because of his love. And as we get into this, it's very important, kind of rethink how you see love. Because love isn't just this feeling. It is an action, operation of God. God is love. And he's moving forward so wealthy in mercy. And his love is so great. And what did he do? He loved us. Now, that moving forward in love for you and me, there's nothing on this planet that's greater than that love. Now, as we get into today, I want you to turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. Now, John definitely has a lot of revelation on the love of God. In fact, as a disciple, he understood that Jesus loved him. And in the book of John, he kind of stresses these things where concerning Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, he kind of brought out that they all understood that Jesus loved them. And, you know, that's a great revelation. There's a lot of people, they've been hurt, they've been rejected. They come to faith in Christ, but there's a real problem of receiving his love because on the earth, they were hurt in the realm of rejection, and they kind of build a wall against the Lord, and they just can't understand that operation. You know, it's really interesting. My grandmother, beautiful lady of prayer, and I tell you, she prayed and prayed. She was born again in a revival in the mountains of Virginia before World War II, just before. And my mom was like a few months old at the time. And this is back in 1941. And Grandma and Grandpa went to this revival, got born again, and I'd like to tell you more details about it. But the power and the presence and the conviction of God was so strong on these meetings. And I say, well, Grandma, I love hearing about that. But how did you learn to be such a woman of prayer? Well, she said, after the revivalist left, we started a Monday night prayer meeting. And we would all come to the church. And as we began to pray, it was like the presence of the Lord just lifted us up into heaven as we began to pray. And so the spirit of prayer was imparted into her. Now you say, was she baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, she didn't have any teaching on that. And so the revival they were in wasn't a revival of the charismatic operations of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying and speaking in other tongues. She didn't have that. But she was born again. She loved God. And a spirit of prayer came down upon her and never left her. And she and Grandpa, they were people of prayer. And I believe it set the course for our family. I mean, I'm talking about even my life right now was impacted. I wasn't born yet, but was impacted by a revival in the mountains of the western part of the state of Virginia in America when a little lady went there, got saved, came home, told her husband, come to the revival. He said no. And for 10 days, she ironed his clothes every morning and prayed over those clothes the best she knew how. And then 10 days later, he came home from work in those clothes, those prayer cloth clothes, and fell into her lap under such conviction of the Holy Ghost, went to the meeting. He didn't get saved that meeting, but the next night he went back to the meeting and went down and gave his life to Christ. Now, our family has taken a dramatic turn now. I wasn't born yet. But that turning of the family into the presence of God, into the direction of God, the call of God, set the new course for our family. Now, my mom, when she was, 5 or 6 years old, that spirit of prayer was still on the home. And she said, I would lay in bed and just my heart would just hunger for Jesus and I would talk to him. And then I would talk to him in what I called baby talk. I didn't know what I was saying, but there was a language that just would come out and I would talk to Jesus in this special language to him. Now, when she got older, she lost it because her church didn't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until 1970, 1971, where she got a hold of Dennis Bennett's book, something about 9 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning. And she began to realize, I had this and I want it back. And she got on her face before God and began to cry out for it. And the Lord baptized her and she received that language again. And this time she never lost it. She continued in that prayer language. Because of that love of God, that fire of God that was abiding on the house. And like I said, Grandma and Grandpa were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is as I came on the scene, now I'm the fiery evangelist, and I'm telling Grandma, it's time to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive your prayer language. She would say, oh, I want that so bad. And if the Lord wants to give it to me, I would receive it. I said, well, the Lord does want to give it to you. It's in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that says Jesus, withholds it. And so I said, well, let's pray. And I would pray for her. Many times she would fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit, but she wouldn't pray in tongues. And I would say, Grandma, the power of God is right there. I can sense the but she would never take the step of faith into it to receive it. She wanted the Lord to do everything, and the Lord's not like that. You have to join with Him where your will's involved, His will's involved, and she just wanted to relax and let the Lord do it all. But he doesn't do that. You have to walk by faith. You have to receive by faith. And so now this is what happened. After years of doing this, I was like worn out. I'm like, she refuses to take the step of faith to release the prayer language. And then I was praying, and then some wisdom came to me. I heard my mom tell a story that when Grandma was a little girl, Grandpa didn't really get along with her, treated her kind of mean. And so that relationship with daughter and father was not a fluid, loving relationship. And so when it came to the promise of the father in her case, there was an area that was a stronghold. Not only was she not willing to release by faith and just take it, there was an area of mistrust of a father. Not that she didn't trust God. She trusts God. She loved God. But there was that little bit of a psychological stronghold of the love of a father in the natural. And, you know, it's so important as fathers, and we're not perfect, okay? There's no father that's perfect on the planet. That's why Jesus said, let me tell you, if you think you're good, your father in heaven's a lot better than you are, believe me. And moms are the same. We're not always perfect, but my grandma had a stronghold of what? Trusting the father's love. In general, she knew, oh yeah, he loves me. But in that present tense of receiving, there was a problem. And so she never actually, she lived her life, woman of prayer, and loved how the power of God was in our lives, in the family's lives. You know, we were living in the experience of walking with the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, with that wonderful charismatic expression of prayer. But she never lost the spirit of prayer that was in her from those Monday night revival prayer meetings. And so, you know, the love of the Father is important. Now, let's go here. In John, 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Now, when you think about that, immediately you're thinking about sinners, because obviously you know God, you're a Christian. But actually, this is talking about us, because there's certain areas of our life where we know God, and his love is stronger in those areas. Then there's other areas of our life that need to be discipled into the love of God. In that area, you don't know God. It's like, the husband that yells at his wife, or the wife that yells at the husband. I'm going to say something. In that area of your life, you don't know God. How we treat each other is a reality of that operation of love, whether we have revelation or not in operation. And so, you know, we have to kind of keep ourselves in check. And you know, let me tell you something. Everybody's the same on this planet. We're all developing. And so don't get your pride feathers ruffled if you start seeing, hey, there's an area of my life that the love of God is not in this area. You're just normal, and you have to conquer it and bring it into the love of God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God to us, towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Why did he? It was an operation of the love of God. Remember that force of such rich mercy, greatness of love, and it was moving towards you and me. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the payment for our sins. Whew, that is the love of God, that he sent his word became flesh, he became the Son of God. In heaven, he was the Word of God. When he became like us, he took on the name Son of God, just like Adam. Adam failed, but Jesus, the second Adam, did not fail. He was all man, but all God. He was equal, but in his humility, he did not try to say he was equal. He tried to get us to come and to be like him, but he was God. He was every bit God. And he kept teaching about the Father. If you see me, you've seen the Father. And if you see my love in operation, you can trust the Father. He is just as loving. Now, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is what? perfected in us. Now, that is where we're at with these podcasts. We want to be perfected in the love of God. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he's given us of his Spirit. We have seen and do testify the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Now, let's just pause here. He that dwells in love. That's why we're doing this. It's a choice to dwell in love. He that dwells in love dwells in God. God is love. Now, let's pause there and let's go back to the Apostle Paul. And I just think we're just meandering through a park, okay? And I just want you just to see that we're all just walking together and fellowshipping with the Lord as we look at love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, so he that dwells in love dwells, what? In God, and God dwells in him. So our endeavoring is to make sure that in the different areas of our life that we are dwelling in God, that when we speak, that we're speaking from the dwelling place. Have you ever heard Psalms 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord in the dwelling place, you're my refuge and my fortress. You're my God in whom I love. I trust. I lean. Now, love is a trust. That's why I threw love in there. When you love, you trust. Now, so the secret place of the Most High God is the love of God. And so when you see his love in operation and you realize it is a force that nothing can separate you from it. I don't care how bad your day was or what you're feeling. You are so loved, and that temporal thing that you're up against right now is not greater than that love. And I just want you to see it. So then now you're saying, okay, I am dwelling in the love of God. I'm in the secret place. And in the secret place, I have set my love upon him. And he will deliver me. Because in that secret place, he's given his angels a charge concerning me. Why? Because I'm walking in love. I'm dwelling in love. And those angels know the operation of heaven. Heaven is so saturated in the love of God when they come into your house and they sense, oh, there's worship here. And there's people that speak kind to one another. And there's people here that pray. It feels like heaven. And the angels are able to help you deliver your home, okay? The angel of the Lord is there to deliver you. And let me tell you something. The love of God is the atmosphere of what the angels work in. So you walk by faith in the word. You walk in and dwell in the love of God. And you have the assurance, not only are you more than a conqueror, but angels are ministering and helping and delivering and chasing your enemies. And they have to flee seven ways. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men, verse 1, and of angels, and have not love, this love, this force of love, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Whew. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. And so in the first three verses of Paul's revelation on love, okay, like I said, we always think John is the guy who has the revelation on love, but I'm telling you what, Paul is an apostle of the love of God. And in the first three verses, everything in those verses are characteristics of revival. Speaking in the tongues of men and angels, speaking to mountains with faith, giving your clothes to the naked, giving up your life as a martyr. These are all the aspects of what wonderful books are written about, right? But it says this, without love, without love. So is it possible to do these things that we call revival characteristics and still be lacking love? Yes, it is. Because he writes it, and it's a warning to us. He says, well, I have become something. Did you know without love, you can become something? Think about that. Also, he says, I am nothing. Oh, so you've become nothing, and you are nothing, and in the end, it profits you nothing. If you want a big zero nothing at the end of your life, then just choose not to pursue perfection in the love of God. Because to the Lord, this is serious. This is everything to do with Christianity. It's walking in the love of God. Now, there were a lot of situations in the early church. You know what the first problem in the early church was? Neglect. Yeah, neglect. There were Jewish Jews and there were Greek Jews, okay? Hebrew Jews and Greek Jews. And, you know, those two people really didn't accept each other. They knew each other, they were Jews, but they were divided. And so people were coming to the Lord. They were giving their lives to the Lord. But the Hebrew Jews were only concerned about their widows. These are our widows. And the Greek Jews are like, well, what about our widows? And so the Greek Jewish widows were being neglected. And I am telling you, this was the first problem in the local church in the book of Acts, and it is a problem in every church on the planet. Now, I'm not trying to be negative. It's a reality. Neglect is a reality. And so as a leader, you have to be given to prayer, but you have to build those staff around you so that neglect becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. A lot of people will leave churches because they feel neglected. It is a reality of church. People go, they get caught up in their own clique, and before you know it, if you're not in the clique, you're neglected by the clique. And those things have to be destroyed so that the body of Christ is dwelling in the love of God with a love for each other. Now, listen, that's enough for now. We're going to keep on this. I want you to keep meditating this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my friend. Lord, continue to develop us in the love of God. In Jesus' name. Now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.